Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, host of The Big Story, Canada's longest-running daily news podcast. For 6 years now, we've been telling one story a day, every one of them about something that matters to Canadians. This spring, though, we're going deeper. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt, the inside story of Ontario's Greenbelt scandal. From political games to stag and doe parties, endangered species, RCMP investigations, and Las Vegas massages, you will hear the full story straight from the people who broke it. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt. New episodes every Monday starting April 22nd, and you can get them all by following The Big Story wherever you get your podcasts.
Find your frequency.
Controversial subjects with the facts can be tense, but we are Ace Up Science here to make things make sense.
Today we are talking about the monarchy with Harry and Meghan and the passing of Prince Philip. We thought it'd be an interesting time to talk about whether or not they're inbred, if diseases are proliferating through their blood, and the science of tea, honey. Tea.
That's the tea, honey, about bad leadership. Speaking of,
okay, so we live in
absolute hellhole.
We live in a current hell called Ontario, led by a clown, ridiculous, horrible politician named Doug Ford, also known as Dofo or Doofus. He did not listen to healthcare professionals about the variants. We actually made a podcast about it. You can go listen to it, and you know he just ignored everything we talked about.
We'll I heard not someone say that we should call it the Doug Bug.
The Doug Bug. Oh my God. Wait, what do you mean?
Like, because you know how, like, in Ontario, people like are so afraid to elect the NDP, and it's because of Ray Days. Like, Bob Ray implemented these things about Ray Days. And so people are like, it's so annoying that that's lived on as a legacy for decades. Now people are like, if we call it the Doug Bug.
Okay, good, 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 good.
Anyway.
Well, anyways, I love the NDP. Oh my goodness. We had a week off. We didn't have a week off from the podcast, but we took a week off of work last week. It was beautiful. The buds amazing. Are absolutely bursting forth with foliage.
I have such bad allergies right now.
Oh no.
I've been having to take an allergy pill every day. I have read, actually, it's not my study today, but there is like much earlier season for allergies now. Thank you, climate change.
Hashtag climate change coming
as
in for that.
As well as just worse allergy seasons lately, like this year. And I think last year, I can't remember how I felt last year, but already I'm like, oh Jesus, it's every day.
Oh, jeez, oh, Louise. Geez.
Maybe that's why I have a headache right now, too. But I don't.
Yeah, we were like, okay, so should Mitch discuss his ailments off the top? There's a theme. It's a trend. We should make a little jingle and be like, Mitch's ailments. And you honestly. Can like say them. But honestly, I do. Honestly. I do feel like climate change has brought spring earlier here in Canada. And so like when I do see these like beautiful, you know, showy forsythias showing their elegant yellows.
Oh, is that what that is? I was wondering the other day on my walk, I saw a beautiful yellow plant tree thing, bush.
Shrub.
Okay, shrub.
Right?
And yeah, well, it was big enough to maybe be kind of, not a tree, but like, you know. You know when you see like a Japanese maple and it's like that.
Yeah, yeah. No, they're a shrub by definition.
It was beautiful, and then it was already dropping its leaves.
Yeah,
it's flowers that I was like, did I miss it?
First to come, first to go in our zone, and then the leaves come after.
Forsythia.
They're also edible, and I will say, yesterday,
I just took Ernie and I was like, I know they're edible. And so I was just like, oh, that's kind of interesting. And I'm like, oh, and I started eating them because it had just rained. So I'm like, it's a good time, I think. I start eating them, trying to be like, is there any
flavor?
Wait,
why is that a good time? Because they're clean. They're fresh.
Yeah, like there's like water has been on them. Yeah, yeah. And I look over and there's just like two couples having like beers, social distance on the front lawn, laughing in my face.
Really?
And then I was listening to music and I kind of like smiled back at them, but I couldn't tell if they were laughing at me or not, but I did just eat a shrub. And then I just like, sang my song like really energetically so that they were like, this, so that like they could be like, oh, he's like just in his head. I was like, I really need a wish right now. Wish
it's like, and if like you hadn't walking. Already garnered their attention, you certainly grabbed it then.
So I personally, not to be
braggy,
rude. I don't like, I want a showy forsythia because I like that they're the first to bloom, but they drop their petals real fast and they just are a green shrub. So I don't love them.
Okay, I'm actually curious to know what they look like. But there are other plants that are blooming right now. There are like trees. I don't know if it's magnolias or like
cherry blossoms.
Trees. Yes, there's like certain beautiful flowers out right now.
Magnolias.
And I have so much time anxiety, and I was like, oh my god, am I already missing it? Like I just a week ago I was like, I'm so excited for spring, and now I'm like, wait, the leaves, their petals are falling.
Magnolias are blooming right now. They also bloom very quickly and early, and are beautiful. And I used to work at a nursery where I would sell shrubs, and people would come in so excited because they'd see all these magnolia trees and they'd be like, I want those big magnolia trees. And then I'd be like, here they are. And it'd be a tiny, you know, like seed, like tiny, like a few. They're like, what is that? I'm like, well, it has to grow. Like they, like these people would come in and be like, I want these giant things. I'm like, that'll cost you thousands of dollars if you want to like transplant that giant tree. It's just interesting. And then they'd be like, oh, never mind. And then they'd leave.
They only want the full grown.
Yeah. It's like an interesting thing that like shopping for like the beauty of a magnolia in spring. It's like, you know, you kind of have to put the work in. Part of the beauty.
Be so nice to see one grow from a baby.
I know, exactly. And then you, exactly. That's what yours. I thought. Like, you got to, like, be one is with there, also, sorry, only if they've fallen, you can also eat. You can also eat those.
Only
buds.
If they've fallen.
I mean, like, I don't want you going around. Everyone shouldn't be eating.
Disclaimer.
The buds off of magnolias. we get, like, tweets.
Don't
like,
eat plants that you don't know things about. Especially if just it's because Greg told you to.
And this is our last episode of Side Note because we have been sued as people have now gone sick from my advice.
I was just going to say there should be, or maybe there is there a word for that feeling of, I don't know, experiencing that? Not, this is too broad, like not experiencing the beauty of nature, but there is a time right now when I see those buds popping and I see those early flowers and I go, oh my God, like what's that? There's definitely another culture that has a word for like that feeling. I know
for
it's
sure.
I know it's
joy, not the
I know
English
whatever,
language,
but there's probably a beautiful phrase in
the English
language.
It's a little, it's like, a little hack.
It's pretty. It gives me hope.
Yeah, no, it's just, but there's something about it where I just like, it's crazy, and that maybe that's a new phenomenon.
You know, when you hear all that in another language, like when you they're like, oh, that word means like the subtlety of realizing the hope of spring, but also knowing the nuance comes with the darkness of passing time. And you're like, wait, what? In one word?
Yeah, seriously. I know. I guess there are probably words like that in English. Not specifically.
Yeah, true. We're not that smart.
Or we just don't think about them because we use them often enough that they do describe, if you were to explain it with other words, you would have to use lots of intricate words.
Subtle beauty. Anyway, let's get into what did we learn this
just
week.
Beautiful. Okay, here we go.
Oh, what did we learn this week?
So,
speaking of the passing of time, the subtlety of time, may I start my what did I learn this
week? Yeah, okay, you can go first.
Mine is about our favorite thing, aging. So, here we go. We're getting old. There is some new research that just came out that looked at thousands of blood tests in like over, almost 5,000 people, I think, and found that there are three distinct ages that people age at. Let me kind of rephrase that. So they have now realized aging isn't just this continuous process.
It's not.
I mean, obviously there are levels that are, but they've found three ages that the blood signature proteins change dramatically at.
Oh, good Lord. I don't want to know them. I hope I passed it.
You're going to die?
No.
And not literally, but I mean, we all are going to die.
Yeah, well, we all are going to die. That's just a realization of life, unless you're a vampire.
Okay, the first age.
Yes.
34.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Oh, geez, Louise. That's like next year for you.
Yeah, I just turned 33.
I love how I'm not saying for me.
So,
oh, that's, no. What's on my blood?
Blood's going to change, and then your body's going to change too. And people often say in their mid-30s is when like all the things start going crazy.
I thought I was already aging.
Me too. Second
how can
age,
this get any worse?
Second age is 60.
Okay,
and the third is 78.
Okay, girl, we got decades for those ones.
So like I said, it has to do with the proteins. They tracked 3,000 proteins in people's blood, and they found that 1,300 of them change right around those ages. So they're like consistent. You know, you're 18, 19, 20, 22, but right around 34, their composition changes in the blood. And they built this system where they were able to predict someone's age just off of a blood test within like 2 or 3 years accuracy. And the only time that the system got it wrong was when that person was exceptionally healthy.
Okay.
So obviously being healthy can like change that. I mean, I don't know what they qualified as healthy.
Set that alarm for 7:30 a.m. I'm going for a run tomorrow.
I know. I'm really scared for next year. But the ultimate sort of...
You wake up on your birthday, I'm like, Mitch?
My blood.
Blood? You look like Dan Aykroyd. I don't know.
Ultimately, there's nothing right now. They were like, you know, this probably won't have any practical use for the next 5 to 10 years, but it could help doctors with their patients realize if they're aging in a way that's not consistent with the general population.
Yeah. Okay.
So, but maybe eventually we can actually intervene with these kind of proteins and stuff. Who knows?
Okay. Yeah. I'm looking forward to the time when we can intervene with this one. Let's move on to mine.
What's yours?
Mine's about animal navigation.
Okay, I'm thinking birds because you love, but I'm thinking also whales, I'm thinking dogs, I'm thinking all animals?
Literally humans. All animals, okay. including humans, but we're famously bad. Like we can, you know our way around a neighborhood, but it's incredible what animals can do, and they can essentially use senses that we don't understand. Obviously, I'm obsessed with freaking birds, and so it like came from like migration, like looking at all these birds coming in spring and being like, how the hell did you know to come to Hyde Park? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you were just in Mexico. Like, that's so far away. Okay, so we'll start with birds. So they are like considered some of the most incredible navigators of all animals because they, when born, they don't even get taught where to go, and then they just know to exactly where to fly in, like, Costa Rica from Canada.
That's wild.
Okay, and they do crazy studies, which I'm like, this is truly evil, but they probably are done by bird conservationists. Namaste, we love you. And they take them. So birds were flying from Canada to Mexico. They took them off their route from Washington, took them in
like
a van.
Like, grabbed them, or, like, when they were, like, there's, like,
they grabbed them. They kidnapped them. Like, get in the van. Get in the van. Put them in a van with no windows. Move them all the way to New Jersey. Let them go free. And they still figured out the first migrations ever.
Just
they figured out
birds.
Exactly how to get to where they needed to go in Mexico.
Oh my God.
They've never been there before.
How?
Okay, so the theory right now is the magnetism of the earth.
Okay,
and there's
can feel it. They have a sense for it.
They have these really cool proteins that almost have like this weird like quantum physics like electron thing that makes them like kind of like have this sense of earth and navigation that we just cannot comprehend, which is like so freaking cool. Also, birds can be taken 6,000 miles off their normal trajectory and still accurately reorient them back to like Hyde Park.
Wow. 6,000 miles.
Miles.
I don't even know. That's what? 1,200 kilometers or something?
Okay.
More?
I mean, it's not quite 1,200, right?
That was 12,000 is what
I mean. I'm like, but that's a full double. It's not that.
It's more than a full double, I thought.
No.
Is it not?
No.
There's one of the things that's 2.2 times.
America, just like, join us.
I'm looking up
with this system.
Miles to kilometers is, you're right. 9,656 kilometers. Wow. I must be thinking of pounds to kilograms, perhaps.
I mean, doesn't
I don't know. Really, one of the things. There's
yeah,
a two.
Yeah,
I mean,
like, it's like
a
literally.
I didn't learn anything.
America,
in school.
America.
You're messing
just,
us all up.
Just keep up with us, okay? another really interesting story that I read was about an indoor cat named Holly that went missing during a trip to Daytona Beach, then turned up 2 months later at the home.
Wait, was Holly on the trip?
Like, okay, so they left their home, which was in Palm Beach. Uh-huh. They traveled 200 miles to Daytona Beach, an indoor cat with their indoor cat. Then they left the cat, or like the cat got lost on the trip. They come home 2 months later. The cat shows up at their door.
No way.
Navigates their way back to their home 200 miles. I mean, it's probably like a ragged cat. Like, you don't even want to know what I've been through smoking a cigarette.
Homeward bound.
And then ants count their steps to figure out how they navigate. So there's like a predominant food source could be over here, and then the anthill could be over here. And they realize they can't their steps, because what they did is they added stilts to some ants.
What?
And they amputated some ants so their legs were smaller. And then the smaller legged ants would end up short of the food source, and the ones on stilts would end further. And then they're like, oh my God, they count their steps.
Okay, wait.
Anyways, this is
they put stilts on ants. How?
Yeah, I know. Just like little scientific stilts.
I need to see pictures of that.
Yeah, that's true. Let's make a TikTok.
Like, actually, you should make a TikTok.
It'll be the like, stilts on I've ants. Been busy thinking about when they put stilts on ants. Okay. Today's episode is sponsored by Gumball. So we didn't know that Gumball existed until about 3 months ago, but when we found out, we were like, oh my God. Okay, so we've been doing this podcast for over 2 years, and it was never monetized. We never felt like we had time. We just wanted to edit it, put it up for you. We love doing it so much. And then eventually we found out about Gumball, which is a platform that hosts podcasts and also hosts brands. And it's the way for them to link up so you can monetize well within that space. It's super time-saving. It's so simple, very transparent. Like, if you're a podcaster, you should look into Gumball. Go to gumball.fm to find out, you know, how you can get involved. Also, if you're a brand, for example, you could go in and type Side Note by ASAP Science. We would come up, and then you could book advertisements on our show. Like, it's that simple. Anyways, it's really cool. And now we have ads on our show. We didn't know the Gumball existed, and we're so happy that we found out. So yes, go to gumball.fm to find out more about them.
Study time.
Study time. Study time. Study time.
Woo. Oh, you want a sip of tea there, bruv?
Yes, please.
I please, sir. I want some more.
Yes, let me put on a British accent. No, I can't. Okay, I
no, do it, do it, do
I
do
actually
it.
Haven't practiced for the part.
Oi! Oi, sir!
My name's Mitchell, and there's lots of different accents. Watch Jimmy O'Kobe, watch Sherelle. That's what I was taught when I was in Oliver with the production of People Who Came From... I
guess yeah, it's honestly, weren't you in Oliver? England. Shouldn't you have known all the British accents of them?
Yes, but I was very young when I was in a production of... Oliver Twist.
Oliver!
And all the adults were from England. And
okay, I'm so sorry. This is botched because I have spent more of my adult life trying to nail the Australian accent.
Yeah.
But recently watching a lot of South African Survivors. So they're just kind of all melding in my head.
You started a little Aussie off the top.
Like.
Yeah.
Like.
Oh, I learned something today that was the phrase shrimp on the Barbie. Barbie, yeah, you know, like yeah. Some shrimp that actually was a marketing. It's considered one of the most successful marketing ploys because Australians do not actually say it apparently, and it's like was part of some food campaign,
like Baba Gum shrimp or something,
like that. That is like internationally known, but people are like, no one says that in Australia.
Yeah, it was probably an ad in America where they had an Australian be like, shrimp on the Barbie, exactly. And then we show up there and they're like, stop talking like that. What are you talking about?
But we're not here today to talk about Australia. We are here.
The monarchy.
Oh, true. Oh, fair.
Commonwealth the monarchy, country.
But ultimately, British royalty is where we're chatting, right?
Okay, so we watched the Meghan Harry interview. I was
mostly on TikTok.
Mostly on TikTok. Actually, when I was watching it, I was like, yawn. Sorry. I'm falling asleep. This is clearly no one's going to care about this. This is a snooze. The next day, it's like, oh my God, everyone cares about this. Yeah. I was surprised, to be honest.
Yeah, like, we have lots of interesting science and stuff to talk about today. I will say up front, I am obviously, and I don't think Greg is either, the foremost expert in the monarchy. Like, I'm not that engaged. I don't really care about the royal family. I don't really know that much about them, do you?
No, like I
but we're gonna give our opinions either way, but yeah. I know there'll be people who truly obsess over it and know every little detail.
And if
of
you
the
do, I would just say, oh no, maybe you should investigate that, take a little close look at that, and sort of think, like, why you know, why
that?
Am I interested in like the colonizers of the world? Just anything about it. So okay, my parents are like hippie, like definitely like hate Doug Ford, but I remember they used to take me to like protests of the conservative government because they like were like anti-education as I was younger. So they always instilled in me this kind of like anti-establishment energy. And so I remember when I was a kid, like Christmas would come and they'd be like, oh, well, let's, you know, go watch the Queen's address. And I would be like, are you kidding? Like, on Christmas, we're going to go watch the Queen be like, oh, it's been a year of peace or whatever. And I was like, I just, like, my body was like, this is wrong. Like, why are we watching this, like, you know, leader? Like, where did your anti-establishment go when all of a sudden we're pro-Britain? It's like, read a book. So I got mad and I was like, one morning I was like, Mom, Dad, I was like 11. I was like, I'm an anti-monarchist. And they were just like, oh, give me a break. You know what I mean? They're like, yeah. Okay, whatever. Like, you understand yeah. And so I remember, like, I kind of like, I think I read anti-monarchist. So, like, I read a little bit quickly about, like, what that meant. And it was just like, you know, I guess you can look at anti-monarchists exist in the UK or like whatever. Mm-hmm. So then, and my parents were like, you know, like, they'd be like, well, something to think about. All the tourism money that London's getting from the Queen. Got to think about that before you come anti. Like, they hit me with facts that I was just like, okay, I actually don't really know what I'm talking about. So then once we were sitting around this big dinner with like their friends and like their friends' kids. And I was just like, you know, when you're like feeling left out of a conversation, like they were being really smart talking about things and they were kind of just like, I wasn't feeling
intellectual.
Included.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I want, like, it kind of like died down a bit. And I was like, well, you know, I have something to say about the world. I'm like, you know what I am? And they all listen. I'm like, I'm like kind of like grasping, like, what was it again? I'm like, I'm anti-Semitic. And I said, and my parents were like, Gregory, what? And I was like, what? Like, I hate the Queen. Like, what? Like, and they started panicking. They're like, that's not what that means. Like, I was like young and 11.
Did you
and
know
I was
immediately
like,
you said the wrong word.
Like, the reactions, it was like people like dropping their British cutlery. Like, they put down their tea, like, excuse me. And I was like, oh my God. And then they were like, that is Nazis. Like, right. That is people who, and I was like, oh my God. Cause like, you're 11, you're learning history. And I was like, oh my God.
I just had heard the word and thought it meant anti-monarch.
Anyways, I think I still am a little anti-monarch. But I've learned how to say it properly.
Good. Yeah, it's about time. It's about time. No, that's fair. That's like, I mean, yeah, I've had those moments as a kid growing up where you just say the wrong word. You're just so confident. I remember once I read a book about planets and felt so inspired and empowered, but I kind of remember lying to my dad because I was like, it obviously explained where Saturn's rings came from, but I fully thought it meant, like, you know when you see a drawing of planets and you see the rings that represent their orbits? I thought
okay,
those were real.
Yes,
things.
Yeah.
So I remember explaining, like, and so the rings, Dad,
that they're like
this.
On their orbits.
Yeah, and he was like, I think it maybe, like, I think he was like, I think it means Saturn. I was like, no, Dad, like the rings that all the planets follow. And I just remember then later being like, I'm so stupid. Like, I was so embarrassed, but to myself, that I had like so proudly professed that and then went back to the book and was like, I am an idiot.
That's a very interesting thing. We should probably do an episode on the planets' rings. Because I really think that is like fascinating, like cognitive dissonance that a lot of people probably still like are like, where'd Saturn's rings from? They're like, I don't know the orbits. Like people would panic to that. That's good. Okay,
where do we begin?
I want to begin with the fact that they're inbred.
Oh, okay. You want to jump right into that? Okay.
I do. I do, because there's a lot of fascinating biology here that I think that like listeners will love, and they're about to learn something really, you know, grade 11 integral biology.
Okay. Yes. Let's talk about inbreeding.
Okay. So yeah, you know, you look at them and you think, okay. Like, I don't know. Like they're like, I mean, hairy. It's like, okay, you're hot. You know, like, you know, you're looking good. But all the other ones, a little, okay, things are off. I wouldn't say they're the most attractive bunch.
Okay.
That doesn't have anything to do with necessarily what I'm going to talk about, but you know. Who knows what the inbreeding's done for that sense. But, okay, so I'm going to explain today how hemophilia proliferated in the royal family and actually how inbreeding and some other aspects made hemophilia spread through other royalty across Europe because of Queen Victoria.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So, like, from the British royal line.
Literally Queen Victoria. I've been reading a lot about her this week. Okay.
Girl, you in trouble.
Okay, so let's start with hemophilia. So hemophilia is a disease where your blood does not clot properly.
Okay.
So it's like, you bleed out when you get cut, especially from the time when this was really bad in like the early 1800s or late 1800s when they're like, oh shit, you're bleeding. Oh, you die. You know what I mean? It's like now it's like not as big a deal, but it's a recessive sex-linked X chromosome disorder.
Okay.
So that's probably giving you that biology. Like,
yeah, I'm starting to see Punnett squares.
You got the Punnett squares, and it's too bad. This is a visual medium, or I would be drawing squares, my friend, on a whiteboard. I love a Punnett square. So it's a non-dominant.
Right.
X-linked recessive, that's what that means, non-dominant disorder. So what that means is that because it's on the X chromosome, you could be a woman who is a carrier for hemophilia, but have normal blood clotting because you only have one X chromosome that has the trait.
And since it's non-dominant, your dominant version that is quote-unquote the normal functioning
has taken over. Yeah. Okay. That's Queen Victoria. So she does not
have...
She has
no idea that she...
She does not realize that she has hemophilia, okay? But the thing is, if you have sons, you...
Right, you're only passing one of those X's to them.
So, like, men in this world, I mean, there's a lot of fascinating... We've done videos about, like, gender and sex that you can watch because it's not black and white, but for this case, we will say it. You have an X and a Y chromosome. So you got the X from your mom. So Queen Victoria, for example, she has the trait. When she has a son, there's a chance that she passes on the one. He gets the Y from his dad. And now, boom, he has hemophilia.
Okay. Yes. Remember this.
Okay. So it's Queen Victoria. It's 1819 is when she's born. She's the queen from 1837 till 1901.
1837 to 1901.
It's a long time.
It is, but isn't Queen Elizabeth now the longest?
Yes, and it's monarch. and sis, she swung in there, tea, honey, and kicked out this Queen Victoria's reign. So now the current queen's
she's
longer
like,
than
and
this.
I am not a hemophiliac.
And I'm not a hemophiliac. That dirty hemophiliac, my great grandmother. So, okay, so she married her cousin. Queen Victoria. Yeah.
Okay,
Prince Albert of Saxe, Coburg, and Gotha.
Wow. It's so wild to think even 200 years ago, that's just normal.
I know. It doesn't seem like that long now that I'm married cousins. That's the weird thing with the monarchy. It's like, ew, gross.
Right. They
like,
choose to keep it in the family often because it like preserves their lineage.
And it's like, hun, your chins are off. But okay, so they all thought it's like the inbreeding that caused this, but what they actually think now is that Queen Victoria's father was 51 years old. And as we now know, older men
like
are...
sperm could be...
Yeah, their sperm is like gross, and like gross is the wrong word, but like they're full of really bad sperm, and they think it was an actual random mutation within Queen Victoria that the hemophilia started.
Oh, like she may not have actually carried the gene, but there was a mutation.
Yeah, because of her dad's old spunk.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah,
their dirty royal spunk.
Oh, it started
spunk.
With her. So then she did have it.
Yeah,
recessive.
Yeah, she had the recessive, but they think it started randomly because of her dad's dirty royal spunk.
Okay, say it one more time.
Okay, so she now has the trait. She marries her cousin. She has a bunch of kids. Okay.
And let's point out also, if it's the cousin, it's more likely it's in the family.
Exactly. So that's the thing. Like, people were like, it's the inbreeding. They now think it's not, but it's like, because of all this inbreeding is how something like hemophilia proliferates.
Yeah.
Because then now all of a sudden you have a dad that might literally have hemophilia, but they like didn't really know at the time. And then a mom who's a carrier, and all of a sudden you could have a daughter who has it because she has two XX. You know what I mean? If the dad has it.
Yep, I see. Yeah. Yes.
So, and the son is going to get it no matter what.
And so, okay, wow.
It's like inbreeding, don't do it. Okay, listen, hot take on side note, listeners. I'm just trying to tell you something really important. Which is, if you're thinking of inbreeding, don't do it. So, her son, Prince Leopold, ends up having hemophilia and ends up actually having kids. Okay. So passes it on, of course, to his daughter, who becomes a carrier because he like has to.
Right.
Because
she has to be a carrier, at least, at the very least, or have it.
And then
although his sons would not necessarily.
Not necessarily. Okay. Exactly. Yeah, you got that's good.
Oh like,
That's the science I want people to take away. You know what I mean? Like XX and XY. So you're right. Like, you got it. So Queen Victoria's daughter, Princess Beatrice, was a carrier, and she passed it on to two of her sons. And she also had a daughter who was a carrier, and that carrier took it to Spain.
Okay.
So the daughter of Queen Victoria, Beatrice,
like went off,
took it to Spain, the Spain royals. And then her daughter, Princess Alice, took it to Prussia and to Russia.
Okay.
So so her daughters, Alice's daughters, were carriers, and then they married people in Prussia, gave it to lots of boys there, lots of women there. Okay. Prussia, I realize, is actually kind of like modern day Germany. I always thought it was Russia. And
just
then
put a P in front of that and called it a day.
And then finally, I just want to say the Spanish Habsburgs, doing all this research, they had the Habsburg jaw. That's Spanish royalty who were very inbred, and they actually had messed up jaws. Like, you know, when
it's because of the inbreeding?
Yeah, you know, when you see like royal like paintings and like olden day paintings, they're like, those faces are messed. And now they're like, well, maybe it wasn't a bad painter. It's like they all were just like inbred.
Oh, no.
Anyway, so Queen Victoria
was kind of like the impetus for much of its spreading, maybe.
Hemophilia spreading amongst royals, which is kind of a little schadenfreude. It's a little bit of punching up to think about how all these people were sick.
Now, let's say like some people have hemophilia who are not the result of inbreeding.
No.
So it's like in this family, obviously. That's
but it's
like,
in their past. You know, they have inbreeding and they have a X-linked recessive disease in their past.
That's so interesting. What was I going to say? Oh, one thing that makes me laugh sometimes is realizing, though, that inbreeding, like, okay, come along with me for a minute. Oh, yeah.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
It's actually not as high of a likelihood. So if you think of Punnett squares, like, yeah, you have to get both recessive genes, and so it's really only like a 25% chance or something.
It's low. We have a video on inbreeding, and like
it's still a pretty low chance
that if you bang your brother or sister and have a kid, that it's actually going
to
be like unhealthy.
So you have the recessive gene, and then you both have to pass it on.
We're not saying anyone should inbreed.
No,
it's disgusting for a reason.
And there's a much higher chance.
Yes, but like, it's not 100%.
Like 20, even if it's 25%, that's still higher than risk factors.
But I always thought that if you were inbred, like you would 100% have issues. But it's like, no, like it could be normal. And it was kind of like, oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, from the outside in, before I really understood the science, I think it's hard to understand what is happening. So you just assume, oh, the act of something with the genetics messes up. But it is like, it depends on many factors, actually. Yeah. So
I like that. Stay with me on this ride. Inbreeding's
we're just representing all voices here. If you are inbred, it's okay.
Yeah, honestly.
it's genetic deficiencies.
But it was fascinating when I found that out at the end of our video research. I was like, wait, okay, cool.
I wonder when royalty, like not just the British monarchy, but monarchies around the globe, because I think a lot of them were inbred because they wanted to keep it in the family.
Yeah.
I wonder at what stage they realized or knew. Like, surely before the science even, they would realize it's a very...
like a bad
idea.
A
lot of people in our families are, compared to...
I just picture them
population.
Drinking, like, you know, like mead, like honey, like fermented honey. Or you know what I mean, and they were all just like sick and like in mud that I'm like, they probably couldn't figure out, wait, is it inbreeding or is it the fact that like we're
so
disgusting?
Then I wonder when scientists and geneticists finally came about and were like, oh, by the way, were they like, oh, and then they actually were like, we should probably not do this anymore.
I'm sure like, it went down just like that. oh shit, we should probably stop inbreeding. But honestly, because science, like, if you think about Queen Victoria being, like, her end of her reign was 1901. That's a long time ago. Like, the scientific, like, revolution that would have allowed her to understand this wouldn't have been around
yet. And no wonder they're still, like, upset at people marrying into the family. I mean, Meghan Markle or whatever. They're like, they're not used to having new blood in the family.
That is such a funny take for, like Meghan Markle when they were, like, getting mad. She'd be like, hey, you guys are obviously inbred. Like, obsessed with inbreeding.
Like, they're not used. There's not... If it only was, like, in the 1900s they were realizing this, then it hasn't been that many generations. Like,
actually,
the queen has been alive.
But we have to be honest. It's racism because they were okay with the other one. Now I'm like, wait a second. No, we know the reason.
Sure.
They're ignoramuses.
Even when you watch, like, so we watched The Crown, and you see even, like, Diana experienced the ostracism from them because she wasn't, like, high class enough. And I'm sure it
But
went
she,
from...
like, was. I never got that.
Oh,
when
me either.
When they showed up and they're like, she lives in a mansion. She's like, I know in The Crown they, like, made it for... you know, purposes. Like, I know she wasn't dressed like she was in Shakespeare when they first met. But when they first meet, it's like this like ethereal music. I'm like, she's in a mansion. Like, she's rich.
She's
upper class.
Loaded family.
They were obsessed with being like, they were obsessed with her being like, I have roommates in London. Like, yeah, but you're still rich. Like, rich people have roommates sometimes too, and they're they're like putting on drag as a normal person.
I wonder though. Yeah, that part, I don't know enough about Diana's history. We should watch those other Diana movies, and I guess just to understand why, when she was from a rich family, she was trying, I guess maybe she was just like, I want to live a normal life.
And then like, she was like 19. I'm like, it's also so weird because it's like, everyone's like, she's so herself. I'm like, yeah, because she like didn't, the world hadn't like she didn't know who she was yet. She was so young. True, I think there were really amazing parts about her. But when I think about how young she was, I was like, she was literally 19 being like, that's wild. I'm just going to do what I want.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Before I go into my tea science, the science tea, I'm just curious. I mean, obviously, do you have any, I'm just thinking so Prince Philip just died.
Didn't even know he existed really until everyone started showing memes of him looking like he was dead 2 years ago.
True.
That's when I was like, who the hell is that?
Right, because he was very old, right?
Yeah.
And that was the other surprising thing to me. They've all, not all, but I mean, both the Queen and Prince Philip have had a very long, healthy life.
So we only started watching The Crown in quarantine. Pandemic vibes. So it's maybe that's, you know what I mean? Now I know who Prince Philip is. I'm like, oh, he's kind of hot when he's young.
Oh, when he's young. Well, but in the actor was hot.
True. I've learned because when I was I would bang Prince Philip, and then they're like, oh, this guy, and then show me that photo of him in the car. I'm like, oh my god, I didn't know that's,
who plays, what's his name? It's just the cute young guy who plays him. I'm thinking of the right person, right?
Yeah. I don't know.
I read today in my research. However, when you research the monarchy and stuff, you come across a lot of tabloids. So I'm like, I don't actually know it's true. It's so much easier when we do something just on science because I can tell this is a legitimate paper. Anyway, I'm on the Daily Mail, and they're like, Prince Philip is the least popular royal of all time.
I love how you just said the Daily Mail. You're like, I don't know if it's accurate or not, but I was on the Daily Mail, and
I was giving an example. Okay. And then I was like, oh, that's really sad. But surely it's also because of the crown. Diana.
Oh, and Diana.
I don't think if it was just today. I think it's because of what happened with Diana, and she's so beloved.
Yeah.
I think he's extra hated by that.
The crown makes you not like him.
At first you don't mind him, but then his story evolves into an awful one.
But I do think I do remember where I was when Princess Diana died. It was impactful, and I think I was pretty obsessed with that story, even though it was a young age. But weirdly, as 32 turning 33 year olds, we were a little bit too young. My sister is 4 years older and she's much more enamored.
She would have,
there was something that we missed in that. And then since then I've just sort of not really, obviously as a young person, my identity was anti-monarchist, I've not really been that into it. I've seen the movie The Queen or whatever it's called. I guess it's interesting, but in general I'm just these are rich people, and I'm just it's sell the Buckingham Palace and all become normal and it'll be better.
I mean, it's just the original Kardashians, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Always obsessed with opulence and wealth. And I think that's what the royal family represents. And I'm sure to British people, it's much more because to them, many people revere them.
Screaming as they're listening to this. Well, honestly, after they've thrown my tea down, they're going off.
I know British people personally, some of which are the monarchy's awful and so stupid and a waste of money. And then others who are it's part of our culture and history and all this. And it's interesting that we're from Canada, a Commonwealth country that still has our head of state.
Queen. It's the queen is still on my dang tuna. I mean, actually, is the queen on the tuna? I just picture loons.
I don't know which one
I prefer
on.
The loons.
Me but too.
Get queen off, put more loons.
It's weak. Wow. It's coming. Summer's coming up. But my
this turns me on.
I'm going to try solo on the podcast. It's just going to be
no, do it. Gorgeous. As a birder, that is becoming even more erotic to me. Okay.
All right, let me get into the tea, okay? So I'm fascinated by tea, but first I have a few little facts about British tea. So
the British tea.
Because of the word tea, I was like, I have to be gay.
It's so weird that gay people do that.
Okay, let me bring it down.
No, but I'm straight people might be find what are you doing? You know what I mean? They might be oh, here goes tea for the Lord, honey, gossip.
I mean, at this point, everyone watches Drag Race, right?
Well, I just, when I realized that Jake Paul fought someone this weekend, I had no idea. I think a lot of straight people don't watch Drag Race. You know what I mean? There's a lot
but
that
they have
do.
To see it in culture, in GIFs and memes, even if they don't watch it. I don't mean
that. But think of how much straight culture you actually don't understand. Oh, that's consume. True. You know it's what I mean?
Wrestling? What the fuck?
Or that when someone recently was the Leafs are number one, I was like, they're playing?
Yeah, sports are happening right
now. Hello, lock that shit down.
Okay, let me talk a straight. The tea of the queen. Is okay, so here's just a couple facts. She loves Earl Grey. We know that, right?
Yeah, I have some of the Queen's Earl Grey downstairs.
Do you?
Petnam in shorts or something like that.
She always travels with her tea kettle. That's what I read.
Okay, problem.
Do you personally, when you make tea,
namaste,
do you add milk before or after making the tea?
Wow. Because
there's one way that's quintessentially British.
Okay, I do it after. Is that British?
or rather should I say high class British, is to add it after. And so the reason is because they used to have these really delicate China bone teacups. And
you
say
China bone teacups. The way you said that was like,
bone China teacups.
No, but it's just like,
just little, they had these China bone teacups.
So these fancy little cups, when you pour boiling water into them, would crack and break.
Wow.
And so if you didn't have nice ones, or if you didn't want to break them, you would put your milk first. But it like was a sign of high class if you could put your boiling water in first.
It was a flex and of then, like, my China's so strong.
So if you couldn't afford bone China, you would pour milk into your teacup first. Because the bone China, I guess, was actually the high quality stuff.
Hate the royals.
I know. And also, you stir back and forth, never in a circular motion, and you never touch the sides. It's like, okay.
I hate that. I literally am like, I hate everything about this tea culture in this moment. I'm like, this is so funny. I've never done high tea. I've never done that.
No, and it's like, we should definitely not jump to high tea. It's like, tea comes from like East Asia. Like, let's go experience some like tea culture like in Japan. Chai tea so fascinating.
Out of like literally the bowls we would have in India on the street. It was so fun and cool.
Or just like matcha tea. And like, there's so many beautiful tea ceremonies that happen in like Japanese culture and Chinese culture. That I'm like, why do we instantly go to high tea?
And is high tea what I think it is? Like, do you actually get your crust you cut just get off high. On egg salad
yeah also
sandwiches?
Yeah, the queen doesn't like crust, so she cuts it off.
So that's why.
I don't
like,
know if that is
no
why, but
literally
I read
when you go to high tea, it's like you're telling me this is like children's lunches. It's like a salmon salad put inside like Wonder Bread with the things no cut crust. Off and then tea. It, but I've never been to high tea, so maybe people are like, that's not high tea, you doofus.
I haven't been either. I'm sure it's cute, I'm sure it's nice, but it sounds really expensive.
And it sounds just like, I love that.
Just
like,
pour yourself some tea at home.
Yeah, and put the milk in first. Don't flex on your tea like that. Okay, continue.
Okay, let's get into a little more of the science. I'm just gonna start spouting out some really amazing effects, because apparently tea is really healthy for you.
Okay,
so good for you. It was originated in China. Earliest documented case of it is the 3rd century AD.
Oh, that's a long time ago.
Long time. It's one of the most commonly consumed drinks in the world. So it lowers stress hormone cortisol. Half a cup of green tea a day seems to lower the risk of developing depression and dementia. They've done more and more research realizing that it is at least associated with mental health, which is really interesting. Cool. One of the most crazy things. Okay. So in a Korean population, they did this study on thousands of people.
Korean population.
Okay. This was just a particular study. People who drank it regularly were 21% less likely to develop depression over their lifetime compared to non-drinkers, which is on par with exercising 2.5 hours a week. Like,
whoa.
That's the same sort of like drop in depression.
So I can stop exercising and just drink tea.
There you go.
There we go.
And at first I was like, this can't be real, but it was nature.com that was like
but it was nature.com, my friends,
legitimate nature.com, as it were. I was just like, this can't be real, but they published it, so okay, I have to trust it. Those who drank as little as one cup of tea per day performed better at memory and information processing tasks. Of course, now one of the things when it comes to mental health and better, like lower stress, is they don't know if it's the association of like tea is often warm and cozy and associated.
I was
going
to say it like forces you to be present.
Yes.
And look at your
so that some of the studies have not been able to parse that out because they are just kind of a correlative.
It's hard to parse out what even that
epidemiological
does.
Studies. They're not necessarily like testing, but there are studies that I have here where they realize like the main antioxidants that are they're seeing the effects from. One is called EGCG, and the other is called L-theanine.
Like isn't it like BCBG, that club? Like when you said that, like, oh, ECBG is closing. We can't see those iconic rock duos.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
BCB, that really? That's so good. I don't even know if I know what I'm talking about either.
Both of those chemicals, so one is way more present in green tea, the ECGC, and then L-theanine, I think, is more present in black tea. But both can pass through the blood-brain barrier and seem to help with anxiety, improve memory, reaction time. So there's really and they seem to help with anxiety, improved memory, and reaction time. I was just reiterating that they have done studies where they isolate that. They give people fake tea with caffeine and real tea with caffeine, and then they're mainly studying the ECGC or the L-theanine. So people think they're drinking tea, but it's kind of a placebo sometimes to see if they can isolate the effects of these specific antioxidants.
It's a net
overall
positive.
Yes, so now I literally drank green tea today. I was like, I quit caffeine, but actually I need to go drink it.
That's like, you know, the queen, like, you know, I
very intelligent, important woman. I definitely think I like her, even though I don't think I've ever seen her talk, except at the Queen's address, which I was protesting upstairs and didn't watch. But like, I think like, yeah, had a very long life. Who knows how much that tea impacted her? Her EGCG levels, her L-theanine levels would be good. Like, she probably drinks more tea than a lot of people.
Epigallocatechin-galate. I know, I can't say it. Galate. And also, do you remember when we were in Korea, people would be like, this will save your life. Remember we were in when we were in like the Korean market that one time getting food, there was like these people beside us who were so cute and helping us, spoke broken English, and then were just like, drink the tea, drink it every day. You'll be healthy for the rest of your life.
Okay, wow. I don't remember that.
I think it's in the vlog.
Okay, that is a psycho
we
thing
have a vlog of traveling to Korea.
So sincerely. I think it's in the vlog.
Well, you know, I would never remember something if I hadn't reinforced it with like seeing it again.
Okay, that's so funny. Okay, no, I don't remember that, but I do. I'm just going to drag
it. It was
this.
Just a random man at a corner saying this to us, but I'm like,
yeah, no, that is a beautiful moment while traveling, being like, oh my God, this tea will save me. It's probably just like normal Lipton
with
tea.
Water.
like mass produced.
Hot water.
But I will say I was one of the first times I clocked Dr. Oz, which is the horrible Dr. Phil. Oz. They're both bad. So the one that's more like, I'm a doctor, Oz, was when I was in a nutrition class learning about green tea and learning about like the idiosyncrasies of certain things and how it gets like kind of overutilized, like that it will literally save your life point blank.
Fair.
And then I watched a Dr. Oz episode like on green tea, and he was saying all these things, and I realized it's a really easy, fun thing to extrapolate about, because as a viewer you're like, oh, I can do
it's
that.
An easy fix.
Yeah, like I can. And then
I
and
have
then,
it in my cupboard. Yeah, that's
so
true.
I clocked that, but that was a much more like, you should have, I honestly am like, encourage Dr. Oz green tea and you'll probably see crazy shit that he says. Because
right, I'm curious. Yeah, so to be fair, yeah, this I was kind of skeptical, but a lot of this research was from 2019 even. So they're definitely, regardless of like, this isn't going to save your life.
But it is
generally considered like a healthy drink that is correlated with a lot of these kind of lowering risk factors for certain issues.
And I remember when I was in that nutrition class, I was drinking green tea like twice a day, because the actual science, like what you just explained, even when I was learning at like a deep level, was making me be like, wow, this is very beneficial. Mm-hmm. But the professor was just being like, kids, this is a fun little activity for you to go into pop culture and see how people take the science you're learning right now and extrapolate it to all these bigger places, mm-hmm. to like sell magazines and
sell products. Like tea is an easy product to sell. And for sure there's big tea. I think it's like,
there's definitely big tea.
There is. It was like billions of kilograms get created a year of tea. So there's a lot of market interest in obviously selling and probably doing studies to show that tea is healthy.
It is weird when you like look at tea or like, you know, like David's tea, how they were like, oh great! Like then they like bring down that silver bin and they open it, and then you look in and it's like, oh, this is bark from the tree on my street. Like, cool, yeah, I'll like, buy.
That's a dandelion.
Yeah. They're like, and look, it has full dandelions, and you're like, oh, is that good? Okay, $30? I guess I'll pay more for that. Yeah, and then learning through that nutrition that's actually like less regulated. It's like that actually could be like random bark and is maybe not like that good for you. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
who knows? Yeah,
tea is like full of like so many different things.
I recall I have a friend who works in a lab and had once told me like tea leaves are like often they're studying like what chemicals and what do you say?
Pesticides.
Like pesticides are on them, and often like dry tea leaves contain a lot of that.
Yeah, yeah. So
not anyways. To say that it's necessarily at levels that's like toxic or poisonous, but it was enough for her to be like, I measured the levels and it's like, it's concerning.
And sometimes I just open like a fancy tea thing that someone gave me and I'm like, this is rocks and like dirt and a branch. And I'm just like, okay, I guess I'm going to steep it.
There are things that are branches. You know, you got cinnamon sticks, and I'm like, that is amazing.
That is so, oh my God, a full vanilla bean?
Yeah.
So recently I've been trying to bake, and I went and got a full vanilla bean, and I was like, are you kidding? Am I scraping at the seeds of this gorgeous bean? And it is just full of flavor and smells.
So fascinating.
Here I am reneging everything. I'm like, give me tea that's only dirt and sticks. That's
now
what
that's
want.
Not tea though. I actually don't know. This tea is referencing like leaves. Like, so there's, I don't know what actually qualifies as tea. Obviously that's still tea.
See, I'm wondering, is it just the act of steeping said natural organic substance is what makes it a tea?
There
a tea
might
bag.
Be Yeah, I think originally they, I think most teas come from, both green and black tea come from a specific plant.
Oh, that makes sense.
Camellia sinensis.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I'm just looking.
It's true because you don't always use a tea bag. Sometimes you just put it in, you strain it out. Like, there's all these amazing ways.
But obviously, tea has evolved over time in terms of culturally evolved for people to put like marshmallows in tea bags and stuff.
Yeah.
To make it, give it flavor.
Yeah.
There, I swear we have David's tea that has marshmallows in it.
I love that. That is so funny. I can just see the people at David's tea panicking, being like, throw some fucking marshmallows in it. I don't know. Candy canes, throw candy canes in it. Like, I mean, just panicking.
Good choice. That was such a boom, the tea boom. You remember like when David's tea became popular and then it was like Teopia and all these other companies started. I was like, why is everyone obsessed? And they'd be like, we went to East Asia and learned about tea and are bringing these back into our culture. Like, it was like exoticized. Do you not remember?
Yes, I remember. I'm like laughing because I'm like,
this is the Amazonian tea with these berries. I know not goji berries, but it was like they always would have these different things that were like, and in this local mountain of wherever they have these crazy leaves that cure you, and we put them in our David's tea.
And it's like, okay, you, it's so weird because you'd think it'd be like this like brown and green and earthy vibe. You walk in, it's the most sterile hospital vibe.
Very,
it's like
apple. They followed the apple model.
Yeah, but I'm like, it's like kind of a disconnect when you're when they go, oh, they grab the bin like violently. They're like, oh, here. Then they open, they go, oh, this one, you know, comes from the region of front. And they start like, I'm like, this is like not what I want.
Doesn't feel like that earthy.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least
Teopia with at least had like, I never went in one, but like the branding was more like earthy. I also like the way you described Teopia as a panic because it definitely was like a reaction. They're like, we need to open a Teopia.
Suddenly tea stores were opening everywhere. I just remember there, it was like, you know, 2009 or something. Suddenly everywhere there was a David's tea and then all these weird competing companies.
And I weirdly fell for it. Like, I was so young and dumb that I was like, I would panic for a gift. I'd be like, oh, David's tea.
Yeah. And then there'd be those news reports. They'd be like, this generation is turning to tea instead of coffee.
But really everyone was panicking and didn't know what to buy. And it was like actually designed well, lit like a sterile office building. And I was like, I guess I'll get my tea there.
So, I mean, the queen really was ahead of that trend. But just with
Earl Grey. And I do think of the queen when I think of like having a Earl Grey tea. Like she really copped that branding. And I don't know if ever in my life I won't think of the queen when I have an Earl Grey tea.
We'll be in our 90s telling our grandkids, there was a queen who used to drink this tea.
And they'll be like, what's a queen? And we'll be like, oh, there was this thing called the monarchy. And they were inbred, not hemophilia.
And they'll be like, when you lived when there was no pandemic?
Yeah.
And we'll be like, yeah, that's really sad. Okay. I'm sorry if I stole that joke from you. You said it once before.
Oh my God. That's so, I was literally just thinking, I was like, does he like, did he just steal my joke?
I was like, if you're not going to say it, I'm going to say it.
That's so interesting. Oh my God. But what just, like, I'm actually like now, like what just went through your head? Like you were just like, cause I was trying to think of things too. And then I was like, well, I'm trying to not say the thing I like, just said on that like weird Instagram. And I'm like,
oh, why?
That's so, no, I'm like, you're right. I should have just been like,
you already put it out.
Oh, they're
there.
All CRISPR-Cas9 gene. Like I should have just been like, yeah, they have CRISPR-Cas9 gene editing. And they're looking at us and they're like, I'm married to an algorithm. We don't know what you're talking
about. A comic, I can steal jokes with no shame.
No, but you are
because it's not my job, it's not my career. I'm
you
like,
are a comic.
No, I'm not.
You are a comic. You make me laugh.
I actually don't.
You do. Like, that sometimes you don't, and I get I'm secretly sensitive. SS, secretly sensitive, and so sometimes Mitch will like crack a joke, and I'll be like, "Are you serious?" And then he'll be like, "Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I did not know." So like, you are a comedian. It's just sometimes I'm secretly sensitive, and I can't take your jokes.
Do you think the monarchy should Canada secede from the Commonwealth?
Yeah. What, for sure?
Yeah, you just are like, get rid of it all. What's the
point? Oh my God, that's a separate question. Get rid of it all.
I mean, I guess I don't know the intricacies of it, how it
I'm just
interplays
like,
with
colonization. Okay, we all know there's one thing we've learned from history is that colonization and the British conquest is not working. It's like they spread their capitalism. They were all overpopulated and gross, and they were like, oh fuck, we need to get out of here. We need more resources. So they took over the world. Then we got capitalism, and then now we're in climate change due to capitalism. I'm like, no, yeah, we need to not look up to this British royalty. We need to find some other ways of life that don't involve what is quintessentially the monarchy, which to me is like, you know, like white British capitalism.
It's interesting that America did it. They were like, no, we don't want to be part of this.
But anymore. They stayed in the same route. They're like, oh, we're actually going to be capitalism on drugs. Like,
sure,
they took all the horrible parts
they
of colonization.
Pushed away from the monarchy.
Yeah. So, when I say like, I'm using the anti-monarchy that I have to still I'm an anti-monarchist to be more anti-capitalist, anti-establishment, capitalism into like climate change.
Well, at least capitalism can survive under democracy. I'm not saying that there's not some like messed up displays, but like a monarchy is usually when the one person is like unilateral power.
Yeah. It? And it was interesting.
Obviously it's changed like in England, like she no longer has that same power, but
yeah, so like they took the power out.
That's and same in Canada. It's like mostly is symbolic.
Yeah. We have a symbolic like,
which I'm fine with, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess it's like, whatever, go take a meeting and like talk to like students at a high school.
I'm sure someone could easily convince me to be like actively against it. I'm sure it wastes so much money in all these ways that we don't realize.
Yeah. The governor general probably has like an epic car service that is just like
flies private. Who knows?
Yeah. Probably a lot. But like, also remember, like, Canadians don't really care about the governor general. Sorry, hate to say it, but like they don't. Sorry, CBC, but we don't care about the governor general. I mean, literally, a few people are probably upset I said that. But like, there's like a governor general in Canada right now that like every time we watch the news, they're like, she's evil. And everyone's like, she's abusive. And like, I was like, our like elected version of the queen is like some evil person who's like,
was it
mean to her? Yeah. Like mean to her, like assistants who like try and do her social media.
Or just to everyone she had to work with.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, wow.
It's like a culture of abuse is what they called it.
Exactly. It's like, if you're at least going to like elect the queen of Canada, like find an epic good person. Doesn't seem like it'd be that hard to find someone who's like, I don't know, outstanding, like
nice.
Yeah. Anyways, I digress. Oh,
man, well, I'm curious if people think. I mean, obviously, our science had nothing to do with like whether the monarchy should be existing.
But in the end, that's where we ended up, and I say no.
Yeah, I say no as well. What's the point? Someone can convince us though. Yeah. Let us know if you let think us know. If there are legitimate reasons that someone would say no, keeping the monarchy actually helps this, and this.
I actually want to know that so bad.
Yeah. And not in like an angry way, more educate us. There might be somebody who's like, no, here's the legitimate reason why, even as Canadians, it's worth being part of the Commonwealth.
My parents always said, weirdly, tourism like to London
is what?
Like,
cheaper?
Like, would be, no, the reason why it's like you don't realize how valuable their establishment is to get people from around the world to go and spend money in their country.
But what does that have to do with Canadian? You mean as like British people? Yeah, why
the monarchy is like
brings attention to England.
Yeah,
fair enough. I mean, and I've heard as Canadians and Australians, like being part of the Commonwealth, it's often easier to get working visas and to travel between countries because there's like understanding. So let us know what are those things. But that seems
so weird. It's like, yeah, I can travel
anywhere else also. Yeah.
Like it's like the whole world.
Save $30 on a visa.
Yeah, is that really all our connections are? Because that's a loose connection.
They're like, no, it's so good. The queen's like, no, don't leave. I'll save you $30 on entering our country. It's like, oh my God, okay. We don't know anything about this. Clearly. Thank you so much for listening. Anything else on the monarchy, Greg?
Nope, we're good. Thanks so much. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you like follow leave the comment.
Note. Yeah, I read all the comments on YouTube or Twitter.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Write the comments. Leave us. We haven't talked about reviews. Maybe one day we'll do Comment Corner again soon. And I saw someone commenting on our YouTube being like, I wanted to get on Comment Corner for so bad, I didn't know how. So we maybe will bring that back.
Okay, we will. It's honestly, like really not that hard. We should just do it.
And we appreciate all the comments and nice things you guys say. And, educate us on the monarchy if you want. We're ready. All right. We'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Peace.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.